First Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." God wants us to pray. And today, I want to talk with you about prayer. Prayer is an often neglected spiritual discipline, but we're going to get to the bottom of it today. And specifically, I'm going to share with you how to pray for your family using scripture as your guide. Today, I'm going to talk with you about five powerful prayers that every father should know. Five powerful prayers every father should know. And I'm going to give you a biblical guide for seeking the Lord's protection and guidance for your family. We're going to talk about prayers for family worship, prayer time with your wife, personal devotion, and really personal devotion is where we're going to zero in today. And so we're doing a live stream. We don't usually do this, but if you're listening on the podcast later, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad that you're listening. And we're going to be going over this resource, which you can get from the Think Institute. So if you go to the Think Institute website, thethink.institute/store, you're going to find this right at the top. And this is five powerful prayers every father should know. This is an essential resource for you. If you are wanting to lead your family in prayer, if you are wanting to pray more robustly and more diligently and more consistently for your family, to be keeping your family in prayer, you don't really know where to begin or what to say or how to pray in this way, whether you're a new dad or you've been a dad for dozens and dozens of years, this is a resource that I want to make sure that you get. You can get it for free in our website, thethink.institute. It's five powerful prayers every father should know. With that being said, we're about to start this live stream, so let's go ahead and get into it. This is Worldview Legacy, the podcast from the Think Institute that helps Christian men become the worldview leaders their families and churches need. And I am a former pastor, and now I get to serve as the president and executive director of the Think Institute. And it's my job to help you, the Christian man, to build a legacy in your family where you and your kids and your wife will be able to confidently articulate the Bible's teachings and to answer any question and objection against the Christian faith. I want to help you become the worldview leader that your family and church need you to be. That's why I'm here. And today we are walking through five powerful prayers that every father should know. Five powerful prayers that every father should know. And I'm literally going to walk you through this resource because I want you to see this resource and the utility of it, because I'm hoping that you will take advantage of this resource and pick it up in the Think Institute website store for free. You might have to put your email address in, but it's a totally free resource. It is for you. I created this for you. And so this guide is going to be walking through it. So if you're watching right now live, you're going to see some slides, some presentation slides as we go through. But the real thing that I hope you get from this is to get your free resource. And now in the show notes, you're also going to see a link to the website where you can get this resource. So excuse that shameless plug, but I'm a big believer in this. I think prayer is incredibly important. I don't do nearly enough of it. Thank God, by his grace, I've been getting a little bit more into prayer lately. I'm becoming more consistent. But if you're anything like me, consistency is like trying to grasp oil in your hand. You'll get it for a little while and then you lose it. You've got to try to gain it back. I wonder if you can relate to that. In fact, I'd actually like to know, can you relate with this desire of chasing after consistency and feeling like you never quite get there with your prayer life? Or is your prayer life just completely rocking and you're spending 30 minutes in prayer in the morning on your knees before the sun comes up, or maybe, you know, 15 minutes before you go to bed, or maybe an hour in the middle of your lunch break or something? I would actually like to know. So if you're watching live, please comment below. Also, if you have any questions at all about how we came up with this list of prayers we're going to be talking about, or any questions about family leadership or apologetics or the biblical worldview, that is why we're here. So I want to make sure that I answer those questions. Please comment below, and then I will get to your questions there at the end of this live stream. Okay, so 1 Chronicles 16:11 says to seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. continually. That is what we are supposed to be about as Christian men. In Scripture, prayer is given as a command, it is a privilege, and it is a source of power. And so as we give this biblical guide for seeking the Lord's protection and guidance for your family, I want to help you draw on the strength and the power of prayer. And it's something that we neglect, something that I neglect way too often. I know I should be praying. I know I should be asking the Lord to help and aligning my heart more with the Lord. And for me, I don't know about you, but reading Scripture is a lot easier than quieting my heart and prayer. But here's the thing. When we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we see that he maintained a robust prayer life, both publicly and privately. And so as his disciples, we're supposed to be following Jesus. He would pray in the synagogue. He would pray he would go out into the wilderness to pray, to a desolate place. He instructed his followers to pray, to go into the closet and close the door. We know that prayer should be an integral part of our life. And especially as fathers, we know about our shortcomings. I mean, you and I know that we are not perfect dads. We're not perfect men. I just talked about how I struggle with consistency in prayer, but there are any number of other things that I struggle with as a father. I don't have the wisdom and the strength to be the kind of dad that the Lord wants me to be and that my kids need, to be the kind of husband that my wife needs in and of myself. And yet, even though I know that, prayer can still be difficult. I know that the Lord offers me wisdom if I just ask, as he says in James, but I still neglect prayer way too often. And partly that's because my life is busy. Maybe you can relate to that. Part of it is not just that life is busy, but just I keep myself busy. Whether I'm getting into debates with skeptics and atheists on Twitter, and if any of you are listening to this, welcome. Any of you skeptics or atheists, non-Christians that I've debated with on Twitter or elsewhere. Whatever your reasoning is, whatever my reasoning is, we know we ought to be more focused on prayer and actually do the work of prayer. And make no mistake, prayer is hard work. It is. It's laborsome. It's intensive. It is hard to get our bodies still, to quiet our minds, to get to a place where there's no busyness around us and to just connect with the Lord, with our King. Prayer is hard work. And then once you start praying, what are you supposed to say? I know prayer is just talking with God, but is there some pattern that the Lord wants us to follow as we're praying? And actually, there is, and we're going to be talking about that. So in this episode, I want to show you a biblical framework for how to pray specifically for your family as a Christian man. This is not a script. This is not words that you must repeat for God to hear you. Far from it. I would never claim that. And it's certainly not exhaustive. Rather, think of the prayers that you're about to hear, the five prayers that we're about to go over. Think about them as like five smooth stones that David picked up as he was preparing for his battle with Goliath. I actually just preached on 1 Samuel 17 this past Sunday at Cross of Christ Fellowship in Naperville. And, you know, I was struck by the contrast between Goliath, the human tank, the human fortress, head to toe dressed in bronze armor with a javelin like a weaver's beam, you know, and his shield bearer out in front of him. That mountain of a man versus Goliath, versus David, who was dressed only in his shepherd's gear, who went down to the brook, to the wadi, and drew out five smooth stones. And that was his weapon, along with a sling. And the sling was just two cords of rope with a little strip of leather. And that was it. That was the weapon. That and a stick, a staff. That's what he went to go face Goliath with. So I want you to think of these five prayers you're about to learn as like five smooth stones that you can keep in your pouch and take out when it's time to do battle against the enemies of your family, the threats facing your family that might seem huge. They might seem daunting, like Goliath. But if you're armed with prayer, and I'm going to give you five prayers that you can use, those prayers are incredibly powerful. Not because you're powerful. David knew that he was not as powerful as Goliath. Even though he was an excellent and expert marksman, David in and of himself could not have beaten Goliath in hand-to-hand combat. But he trusted in the Lord. He knew the Lord would win the victory for him. And so these five prayers are going to serve like five smooth stones for you to keep in your pouch, take out when you need them. They're not a script, but hopefully they will be helpful and powerful in addressing five key concerns facing your family, five key threats. So let's talk about what are those five key threats, or really let's phrase it this way, five concerns facing your family. And remember, if you're watching live, please give me a comment. Let me know what you think about this. And I'd like to know which of these five prayers you would see yourself using most frequently. But before we get to the prayers, let's talk about the five needs. These are the five needs or concerns facing your family and mine, things that we need to be praying for. Tell me if any of these resonate with you. Concern number one, right worship towards God. We do not want to be caught up in apathy towards God. That's the last thing we want. We want our families to be rightly ordered. We want our families to be worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's concern number one. Concern number two, distraction from what truly matters. Getting distracted by all the buzzes and bings and chirps and all the busyness and activities of this life, such that we and our wives and our kids are getting distracted from what really matters, the purpose and the mission that the Lord has for us. Concern number three, provision for needs. We are concerned about not having enough money. We're concerned that we're going to get let go from our job, from our career. We're going to have to start all over. We're concerned that we're not going to have enough food to eat, shelter over our head, that a relationship is not going to come to fruition, that our kids aren't going to have the right friends or enough friends. If you're homeschooling, you know that that struggle is very real. But even if you're not homeschooling, you know that struggle is still real, even at private school or, God forbid, even at public school. I just showed my cards a little bit. No hate on you if you're public schooling your kids, but let's talk about it. So right worship towards God, distraction from what really matters, provision for needs, need or concern number four, bitterness and unrepentant sin. That is something that can tear a family apart, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's sibling and sibling, whether it's father, son, father, daughter, mother, son, mother, daughter, any one of the relationships or multiple of the relationships in a household can become fractured, and the family can feel the tension, stress, and divisiveness when there's bitterness and lack of forgiveness and unrepentant sin. That's a concern of a family. And then concern number five, protection from temptation and worldly influences. And I'm going to throw worldly ideologies in there as well. These are things that we as dads are concerned about. Now, I mentioned earlier, wouldn't it be nice if there was a format or a template for us to use in order to pray? And yes, there actually is a format. And we find this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And here's the incredible thing. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, this is where we find what's called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord, you might call it the Lord's Prayer. You might call it the disciples' prayer because he's modeling it for them. If you grew up Catholic, maybe you call it the Our Father or the Paternoster, or however you pronounce that. I obviously didn't grow up Catholic. But in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus addresses the five concerns that are facing your family and mine. Whether you're married with no kids, whether you're not married yet and you want to start a family, or whether you're married with six kids, seven, eight kids. I know some of you are. But these are the five concerns, and Jesus addresses them all in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you ever knew that, but let's find out how he does that. By the way, we got a couple guys watching here. Daniel is watching. What's up, Daniel? Thank you for watching, man. We're going to have to do another collaboration soon, my friend. And Senior Blondie is watching as well. He says, Prayer life could always be better since we are called to pray without ceasing. Exactly right. I know. And until you get to that point, you have not yet hit the threshold for how Scripture tells you to pray. And Senior Blondie also pointed out, David picked up 5 stones, likely because Goliath had 4 brothers. You know, I've heard that. I like that. I think that that preaches well. We don't see that in the text. We don't see that in the text. So if that's why he did it, I'm happy to know that. But it may also be because he just wanted to be prepared. It was trust God and be prepared. I think both are very important. Okay, so how did Jesus address the 5 concerns facing your family and mine in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13? Here's how he did it. He addresses right worship toward God when he says this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, to hallow someone or something is to sanctify it, to regard it as holy, to set it apart and to revere it and to worship it or him in this case. And so when Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," he is calling on God's people to praise God, to set him apart as holy, to hallow him, to sanctify him. That is what we want for our family, is it not? We want the Lord to be hallowed and sanctified in our family. So that's concern number one. Concern number two is distraction from what really matters, what truly matters. Jesus addresses that when he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus is telling his followers, pray that God's will and purpose would be done on earth, just as it is done by the elect angels and the cherubs and the seraphs in heaven, those living creatures that surround his throne and the elders that surround his throne and the saints in heaven. They're doing his will perfectly. On earth, not so much. Look around, read the headlines. But Jesus tells us to pray for God's will and purpose to be done. That is a prayer to keep us away from distraction when it comes to what truly matters. What truly matters is God's purpose, God's plan. We want to be about God's mission in this world. All right, concern number three, provision for needs. Jesus addresses this so simply and yet so incredibly powerfully when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." The day is upon us. The time of our need is now. We need the food, the sustenance to keep us going. The Apostle Paul says, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Now, I would have thrown shelter in there, but Paul often spent a lot of time outdoors, sleeping on boats and ships, things like that. So Paul realized you could actually get away without shelter for a period of time. And he was in that nice Mediterranean climate. You know, over here in Chicagoland, we need shelter, but we have these certain needs that we have. We have these needs every single day. And for those of us who are dads, we're not just thinking about today. We're thinking about what's going to happen in 4, 5, 6 years when my kids need to go to college or enter a trade school or go to community college or leave the house. Or we're thinking about what's going to happen when I get ready to retire. Or some of you I know are looking towards, how am I going to provide not just for my children, but for my grandchildren? How am I going to build a legacy? And I'd like to get some land and maybe some chickens. And where's that line between necessity and desires and unnecessary desires? But Jesus says, pray for what you need. We need to pray for provision for our needs. That's very important. It's a biblical thing to pray for. And Jesus addresses it. I think that's very cool. Something else, a concern facing our families, the fourth concern, bitterness and unrepentant sin. Remember, that can tear a family apart. And Jesus addresses that when he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In other words, keep us from being bitter. We're forgiving. And in the same way, Lord, we want you to forgive us. We know we need forgiveness. Has a vertical dimension to it and a horizontal dimension. And I can't be holding a grudge against my son, and my wife can't be holding a grudge against me in light of the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sins. So we need that. We need bitterness to be completely eradicated from our hearts and our homes. And we want God's forgiveness upon us. And we want to spread that forgiveness out in our homes and our families. That's an important concern. And Jesus addresses it. And then finally, number five, protection from temptation and worldly influences. And again, I'm going to throw in ideologies. Jesus prays for that when he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Depending on your translation, maybe yours says from the evil one. So these are the five concerns facing every family, your family, my family, the family next door, the family, if you live on a farm, the family a quarter mile away, everyone's family faces these concerns, and Jesus addresses all five of them. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer as a template, and these five concerns as a rubric that we're going to use to develop five prayers. And really, we're not even so much developing as we're going to extract these out from the Bible. And so here's what I want to do. I want us to look at five prayers that someone prays in Scripture. Someone is praying a prayer to the Lord, whether it's Jesus or David or whoever, praying a prayer to the Lord, expressing this exact concern. And what we're going to do is we're going to take each of the five concerns, we're going to discover a passage in Scripture where that concern is addressed, and then we are going to develop our own prayer based on three perspectives. We're going to pray from the perspective of addressing God directly, appealing to God directly, so praising God, describing his attributes, expressing the need that we have, and then from the perspective of our family. We're going to apply what we've just read and what we've just told God to our family and to our family's needs. And then we are going to approach it from the perspective of the Father, ourselves. We're going to petition God for help in modeling godliness, whatever the attribute, whatever the concern is, and then in leading our family in that. So if that doesn't make any sense, if that's as clear as mud right now, hang with me. We're about to get into the five prayers, powerful prayers, that every father should know. And we've got a few more comments coming in. If you are commenting, hang tight until the end, and I'm going to address your comments, Lord willing. All right, so let's talk about prayer number one, help us worship you rightly. Now, for this one, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation, have you read Revelation lately? Revelation is an awe-inspiring book, and rightly so. I'm reading a book on Revelation right now. It's an older book, like 150, 200 years old. And so I am neck deep in Revelation, and I just love it. And look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And I'm going to read it to you in the BSB, the Berean Standard Bible, one of my favorite translations, by the way. And here's what it says. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will, they exist and came to be. So that's your biblical prayer. Now let's address it to the three perspectives, God, family, and Father. First, an appeal to God. And you might pray something like this. God, you created us. You are good. You are worthy of all our praise. You deserve all worship, all honor. Now, from the family perspective, we're going to take that desire, that appeal to God, we're going to now apply it to the family. Here's how you might pray. Again, this is not a script, but it's a guideline. Here's how you might pray. May my family exalt you above all else and sanctify your name. There's that word sanctify, hallow. May we hallow your name. In all our pursuits, may we put you first. May we not be apathetic towards you or forget about you. And then finally, the Father perspective. As for me, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. May I serve as a godly example of devotion for my family. And give me wisdom and consistency in leading my family in worshiping you. See, we're praying for consistency, that attribute that we want so badly and can't seem to attain. It's like trying to grasp oil in your hand. But we're praying to God, Lord, Give me consistency in glorifying you, and may I lead my family in that. May the younger generation coming up see me as a man who glorifies and honors God. I'm not going to get there perfectly, but I can be better tomorrow than I was today. Lord, make me better tomorrow than I was today. Make me a better worshiper. Okay, so that's the first concern. Help us worship you rightly. Now, let's move on to prayer number two. Prayer number two is going to address the second concern. Keep us focused on what truly matters. So where are we going to go for this one? For this one, we're going to go to John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. And again, we're going to the BSB. Now, in this verse, the Apostle Peter is talking to the Lord. And it's not a prayer per se in the sense he's not praying to God in heaven, but he is speaking to Jesus. And if you and I are speaking to Jesus, that's prayer. So I'm counting this as a prayer. I think that it counts. But this is at a time when many of Christ's disciples have left him. And Jesus then turns to his 12 and he says, are you going to leave me as well? Are you going to leave me also? And Peter speaks directly to the Lord. And here's what he says. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So what is Peter saying here? He's making an appeal to Jesus. Jesus, you are our King and Savior. And you can pray this to the Lord. Jesus, you are our King. You are Lord, Jesus. You are our Savior. Nothing else in this world compares to you. Where else am I going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. How could I go anywhere else? So this is an appeal to God. Now, let me just pause right here. If you're like me, you have a love-hate relationship with technology, but you like tools that further your spiritual life. I want to tell you about an app. The app is called PrayerMate. Now, PrayerMate, this is what the opening menu looks like. PrayerMate is a prayer app that has revolutionized my prayer life, and that's not an exaggeration. If you downloaded PrayerMate or one of those other prayer apps, like Echo or what have you, you could literally copy and paste these prayers, these prayer prompts, this guide. You could copy and paste them into your PrayerMate app. You could open up a section in PrayerMate and you could form a list of biblical prayers for my family. And you could actually copy and paste these. Now you're saying, well, wait, I don't have the text for these. Well, you can have the text for free if you go to the Think Institute website, and in our store, you can get this resource, 5 Powerful Prayers Every Father Should Know. You can go there right now if you want. It's actually posted as we speak, but or you can wait till after this episode. But you can open it up, get the PDF, and copy and paste this text, put it right in your PrayerMate app. Or if you've got like a Google Doc or a Google, like a spreadsheet or something that you're tracking your prayer requests in, I know some of you do that. This is a great way to keep track of your prayers. And you can pray this every day. Okay, so we're back to the guide now. You're praying to Jesus and you're saying nothing else compares to you. So that's the appeal to God. Now let's go to the family perspective. You could pray something like this. Lord, do not let my family fall prey to the distractions of this world. Give us a singular focus on your plan and your purpose for our lives. May we put you first above entertainment, activities, busyness, you name it, put it in there. And may we live as a light in our neighborhood, boldly sharing your gospel with our neighbors. See, we want to pray that we are about God's business. God put you in your neighborhood, on your block, in your town, in your area, in your city for a particular purpose. And we want to be about God's business. We want to fulfill that mission, that ministry. Now we go to the Father perspective. You might pray something like this. Lord, I'm prone to distraction. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. But I want to ask you to be my highest priority. I ask that I would be diligently committed to your purpose for my life and that my wife and my kids would see it. May I lead them in spiritual disciplines and in evangelism, and may your will be done in my family, just as it is in heaven. Do you see the parallels there to the Lord's Prayer? Jesus prays, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We're praying basically the same thing. Lord, may your will be done in my family, in my neighborhood, in my church, in my community, in my homeschool co-op, just as it is in heaven. So that's the second concern. Now let's go to the third concern. Provide for our needs. Man, this one hits close to home, doesn't it? Aren't we concerned about making sure that our families are provided for? Maybe you're working a second job, or you're looking for a second job, trying to get an extra shift, trying to get overtime. Maybe you're looking for something new, because maybe a side hustle, because you want your family to be provided for. So we are hustling, trying to provide for our families. And how many times do we neglect to pray for God's provision? We don't go to God first. Instead, we start thinking, let me roll my sleeves up, see what I can do, pick up a trade, pick up a side gig. We need to be going to the Lord first. Now, here's a verse for you. Here's a passage. Psalm 144, 12 through 15. Ooh, listen to this. This is, you're going to hear this and you're going to go, that sounds, I don't even know if I should pray that. But you should. Here's what it says. May our sons in their youth be like plants, full grown. Our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. That reminds me of my mom. She would tell me that when someone that she knew was pregnant, or when she was pregnant with my siblings and myself, she would always pray the same thing. Lord, let the baby be born healthy and on time, with no defects and no abnormalities. Kind of sounds like what David is praying here. I prayed the same thing for all my kids. Maybe now you can pray that for your kids, or your siblings, or your loved ones who are having babies. Anyway, it continues. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. So there's your biblical prayer. Now let's look at the three different perspectives. First, an appeal to God. God, you might pray, you are able to provide for our needs. You are the God of every good and perfect gift. If that sounds familiar, that's from the book of James. Now the family perspective. Please provide for our physical, social, and spiritual needs. Give us food, shelter, clothing, friends, a good church to grow in and serve. Whatever you give us, though, Lord, may we trust you and may we give you thanks for it. And now the Father perspective. Lord, help me to be grateful for your many gifts that I do not deserve. May my wife, who is herself a gift, and my children, who are themselves gifts, know me as someone who relies on you, who trusts in you, and who thanks you in all circumstances, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So we're praying for God's provision, but we're also praying for gratitude, for a grateful heart. All right, so that's the third prayer that every father should know. And now, prayer number four, keep us from bitterness and unrepentant sin. This is a big one. And for this one, we're going to the mother of all repentance psalms, Psalm 51. We're going to look at Psalm 51, 1 and 2, and 9 and 10. This psalm was written, if you know the historical context of Psalm 51, this is after David has sinned with Bathsheba against Uriah the Hittite. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had Uriah murdered. Absolute treachery, absolute adultery, absolute sin. And when David comes back around and he prays to the Lord, this is what he prays. And this is what we're going to pray. Maybe you haven't committed the same sins that David has, but you and I, we have our own sins. And if it was broadcast on your screen or piped into your audio right now, all my sins, I would log off. I'd never come back. Same with you. We have so many sins that we need God's forgiveness for. And those sins will tear our family apart if we don't mortify them, meaning put them to death, confess them, and forgive one another for them. So here's what Psalm 51, 1 and 2, and verses 9 and 10 say. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving devotion. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me clean of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That reminds me of a song we used to sing in my youth group when I was growing up. Those exact lyrics. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Such a beautiful prayer to God, a beautiful prayer of repentance and confession, and something that we need to have on our hearts and on our lips at all times, every day, because we sin every day. So let's talk about an appeal to God. We might pray something like this: God, my family and I have sinned against you. Lord, we need your forgiveness and your healing. Please forgive us and heal us. And yes, that was my alarm going off. That's my prayer alarm. It goes off at this time every night. Now let's look at the family perspective. Family. Lord, do not let my loved ones continue in unrepentant sin. Keep us from bitterness towards one another. Do not let the effects of sin wreak havoc in our home. Let us be kind and tenderhearted towards one another, as Ephesians 4:32 says. You know, I never knew bitterness was a big thing for me. I never knew that that was a sin that I was guilty of. And then in January of 2023, I listened to this audiobook by Jim Wilson called How to Be Free from Bitterness. And I started listening without even knowing that I was guilty of bitterness. But I will tell you what, that book ripped me apart. I learned that I was guilty of a grave sin against the Lord and against my neighbors and against my friends and against my family. That sin was bitterness. As scripture says, I was in the gall of bitterness. I had no idea. Maybe if you've got strife in your family right now, maybe bitterness is an issue for you or your loved ones. And I would encourage you, get that book, read it, listen to it, or just go to God's word, hit your knees and pray and confess your bitterness in your heart. Maybe that's something you need to talk with your wife about or talk with your kids about. But we need to be tenderhearted towards one another and pray for one another. We need to be forgiving one another. Now, let's shift to the father perspective, because this is a huge one for us as dads. You know, it can be so easy for us to wall ourselves off so that we don't get, so that we can be strong. We can provide for our families. That means we have to guard ourselves against undue emotions, but that can go too far. We can start to wall ourselves off from people who have offended us, who have hurt us. And I'm not going to become your therapist here by any means, but I'm telling you from my own experience, my natural tendency would be to write people off rather than to go to them and I don't mind confrontation, but I would just as soon write somebody off rather than make them feel awkward or make me feel awkward with the confrontation. So I'm telling you, this is a risk for us as men, as fathers, as husbands, as friends, brothers in Christ, members of churches, elders of churches. We need to be praying against bitterness and praying for forgiveness. So here's how you might do that. You might say, Lord, I ask that I would be quick to forgive my wife and children and that I would be just as quick to seek forgiveness when I have done wrong. Grant me integrity. Keep me from secret sin, Proverbs 11:3. May I manage my own household well so my children will be believers and not open to accusation of indiscretion or insubordination, Titus 1:6, and to have children who are under control with complete dignity, 1 Timothy 3:4. In case you're wondering, those are requirements for a man to be an elder. His children must be believers or must be faithful. They must. There's a difference in translation there, depending on which side you favor. Either way, your children ought to be faithful, and they must not be open to accusation of indiscretion or insubordination. We need to be praying not only about our own sin, but about our kids. And we need to manage our household in such a way that our children are under control. Our children are disciplined. Our children know how to confess their sin, how to be forgiven by the Lord and by one another. And we need to model that forgiveness. our kids need to know how to confess their sins to the Lord, so that according to 1 John 1:9, the Lord will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. All right, finally, prayer number 5, protect us from worldly temptation and influences. Protect us from the evil one. Here's a prayer for you. This is the passage where we get the idea of being in the world, but not of the world. It's John 17, verses 1, and then 14 through 17. And this is a prayer that Jesus, the God-man, prays to his Father in heaven. Here's what it says. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So how are we going to make our appeal to God based on this prayer? You might say, God, you have made us live in the world, but we are not of this world. You've placed us here to make disciples of Christ, not to be discipled by the world and its ideologies. Now let's turn to an appeal concerning our family. You might say something like this. Lord, my family is surrounded by ideologies and messages that, if we listened to them, would turn us from you. Please protect us from their influence. Do not lead us into temptation or sin or into a trial that we cannot endure. Preserve our faith in you in whatever situation we find ourselves, and make us stand firm on the truth of your word. Man, don't we need that in today's age, in today's times, with all of the ungodly messaging going on everywhere, from your public library to your public school to the children's hospital to media to kids' cartoons that used to be safe that now we have to question whether or not they're promoting the gay lifestyle? Now let's talk about how we as fathers can be praying for this. We pray, Father in heaven, keep me vigilant as my family's human protector, because of course, Lord, you are our divine protector. Lord, I'm flawed. I'm prone to sin. Do not let me stray from your truth. Enable me to tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God, so that I may take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Lord, equip me to defend my family against lies, both obvious and subtle. So there you have it. 5 concerns, 5 prayers, powerful prayers that every Christian father needs to know. Now, like I said, I have all of this information in a free downloadable resource that you can get on the Think Institute's website. It's called 5 Powerful Prayers Every Father Should Know. Everything that you just heard from me is available to you in an easily downloadable format. You can keep it on your computer or your phone. You can copy and paste it, put it into your prayer app. I highly recommend that. Or you can read it, take it out as needed. But remember, these are 5 smooth stones for you to put into your satchel so you can bring them out, put them in your sling, and use them against the threats and concerns facing your family. If you want to download this, go to thethink.institute/store, and it's right there at the top, 5 powerful prayers every father should know. Now, let me tell you about the Think Institute. The Think Institute is a Christian educational and outreach organization that is aimed at helping you, the Christian man, to become the worldview leader that your family and your church needs you to be. If you are ready to build your worldview legacy for your family, to pass on the faith to the younger generation, and to fulfill your God-given ministry, join our new men's learning fellowship called the Hammer and Anvil Society. You can learn more about that by going to thethink.institute/society. All right, well, that is all I have for you. And what I want to do is I want to take some of your comments and questions. And so let's see, we'll go right up. I've already read a few of these, but We've got a several people watching, a lot more watching than have commented. So if you're watching right now and you have a comment or a question or a concern, go ahead and drop it below. And again, if you're listening on the podcast, thank you so much for listening in. I know when I listen to live streams on the podcast, sometimes I'll listen to the Auren McIntyre show. He does a lot of live streams. I always enjoy listening to the live comments as well. So if you're sticking around for these, thank you for listening. All right. So let's see, what do we have here? Daniel says, I'm not at that point. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't even know what that's in reference to. I'm not at that point. That might've been something about consistency. Maybe building your family to a certain point. I'm not sure. Daniel, if you want to comment below, let me know what you were talking about. Danny McKenzie says, no miss, on point, God rules, period. All right, so he's talking about David getting ready to fight Goliath. Did David think he was going to miss? No, I don't think David thought he was going to miss. But if you go back and read the old commentaries, there's a heavy emphasis on David was preparing to fight. He took five stones. I've also heard that the five stones are symbolic for the five books of the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's getting very symbolic with it. I don't know that Daniel had that in mind, but certainly could be. Danny McKenzie also says, sin is missing the target. Absolutely right. And prayer will help us not miss the target. Prayer will help keep us from sin. We're not going to be sinlessly perfect in this life, but I don't know about you, but I'm trying to go the next 5 minutes, as the old song says. Danny McKenzie says, nice, true, and love, faith, and hope. Not sure what that's in reference to, but thanks for your comment, Danny. Chase K says, hey, Daniel, it's Defender Against Debauchery. Oh, I see. Chase is talking to Daniel in the comments, and now I'm reading their conversation to you. That's fun. All right, so they're talking back and forth. Chase had a nice, this is a nice little dad joke pun. He says, oh, this is terrible. Jesus is the icing to your cupcake. Without him, you're nothing. Well, I messed that up. Jesus is the icing to your cupcake. Without him, you're muffin. Oof, really bad. Really, really bad, Chase. Thank you for that. That might even be blasphemous. I don't know. That's really terrible. Really bad. Rebecca says, blessings in an abundance of the faith. I salute you. Grace and peace be unto you and to this place. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. That's fantastic. Rebecca says, God bless you. Thank you. Will you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? I do. Yes. Amen. Absolutely. You know what? That's actually a great point, Rebecca. I'm glad that you mentioned that. If you're watching this and you are not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that you have sinned against God, and that the wages of sin is death. And apart from God saving you from your sin, you will spend eternity in hell under God's wrath. All this stuff that we're talking about with regard to prayer, fatherhood, all of that is for those who know Christ. If you do not know Christ yet, you have not had your sins forgiven, you are not ready to be a Christian father. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. And the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And we know this through Old Testament prophecy and New Testament eyewitness testimony. And we know this for certain. And this good news comes with a requirement. You must repent and believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like to know more about that, definitely get in touch with me, thethink.institute/contact. All right, now, Chase asks this: how do I explain to my fiance that faith is not a work she believes? Oh, that faith is not a work. Chase, this is where punctuation is going to be your friend, man. How do I explain to my fiance that faith is not a work? She believes that it's a conscious effort, therefore it's a work. Well, here's where you can take your fiance. First of all, excellent question. I get that. It's a wonderful question. Here's where I would go. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it may be a verse that you're familiar with. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of ourselves, not by works. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." Now, what it's saying is this, you are saved by grace. It is a gift, not by works. That means that whatever happens in the exchange or in the transformation of a sinner becoming born again, becoming regenerate, as we like to say, and becoming a believer, nothing involved in that process is a work. You are not saved by works. That's one of the reasons why we believe you are not saved by the physical act of baptism. I've been getting into that with somebody off of this, but talking with somebody about baptismal regeneration, baptismal salvation. Baptism is a work. It is an action that you do. It is a good work, but it's something that you do after you are already a disciple of Jesus Christ. Faith is not a work. It does not, faith is not something that you drum up. Faith is not something that you gin up, spin up within yourself. Faith, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, grace through faith is a gift. It's a gift from God. It is not of ourselves. As unrepentant sinners, our minds are set on the flesh. And according to Romans 8, the mind set on the flesh cannot please God. Having faith in Jesus Christ is pleasing to God. You cannot give yourself faith. You work as hard as you want. You can't drum it up. All you can do is turn to the Lord in faith, in repentance. Repentance is turning from your works, because prior to Christ, all of your so-called good works are nothing more than filthy rags before Him. Go look up the meaning of what filthy rags means. It is vulgar. But you cannot work your way to God. So faith is not a work. Faith is a gift from God. It's a response. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's because the Lord gave you that faith. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, repent, turn, believe. It's not a work. It's a gift from God. Then go get baptized at a good local church. All right, that looks to be like the end of all of our questions. I hope that this was helpful. Again, you can reach out to me by going to thethink.institute/contact. I'm around. I'm available. I would love to talk with you about anything that you have. Not anything, but if you've got questions about the biblical worldview, how to defend it, how to lead your family in the Lord, family discipleship, I'm here. I would love, I can't promise I'll get to every email or every message, but if you email me, you've got a lot better chance of hearing from me. And yes, I do sometimes do content and episodes based on the questions that you ask me. I listen to the Think Squad. I love you guys. Don't even know all you guys, but in the Lord, I love you guys. And I'm happy to be on this journey with you. Now, I also want to let you know that the Think Institute is a nonprofit ministry, and we absolutely rely on the generous financial gifts and prayer from like-minded individuals like yourselves. So if you would like to partner with us and join this cause, please go to thethink.institute/partner and become a ministry partner with us today. I can't tell you how much I appreciate those of you who are giving. We've got people who support the Think Institute at $5 a month. We've got people who give one-time gifts. We've got people who give a lot more than $5 a month according to what they're able to do. So give to your local church first and then prayerfully consider giving to the Think Institute. I can't tell you how much I truly appreciate that. So thank you for partnering with us. And if you want to learn more about the Think Institute and all the work that we are doing, go to thethink.institute and learn more there. We've got articles. I'm not even going to tell you all the stuff we have. We've got a lot of stuff going on. By God's grace, this ministry is growing, and I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'm grateful to see what the Lord is doing. So that's about it for me. Until next time, I hope it made you think.